This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
John and Gordy in the Morning is brought to you by John Peterson and Gordy Young in association with John and Gordy Productions, Civic Media, and your Uncle Steve. Side effects may include nausea, uncontrollable laughter, and the desire to throw your radio into Lake Mendota. Now, here they are, John and Gordy. We're sorry.
Yeah.
Uncle Steve, sorry.
Yeah, you think? Well, I'm there with you on that. I'm there. Yeah.
I'm right over here.
All right. Well, 92.7 WNTX.
Good morning.
No, I'm not upset. You know, I never get I never get angry.
You've been grousing since you walked in half an hour ago.
I know.
About everything.
You know, we were talking about speed limits yesterday, and we came up with a great solution that the city, you know, could have used, right? Flip cards.
Flip cards or magnetic, stickers.
Right, to change that last number on the speed limit sign. Right. It's easy to do. All you have to do is, you know, flip the card.
Right.
We saw that on What's My Line, right? They used to do that.
What's My Line? That's going back a ways. Yeah.
Well, I know. Check it out, folks, on 50s. The Game Show Channel.
Yeah, look for it.
But I thought of the speed limit as I was on Campus Drive, and it went down to
35.
Down to 35.
Nobody goes 35 on Campus Drive.
There's no cross traffic, no sidewalks, no pedestrians anywhere for about a mile. It's the Autobahn here in Madison.
It is.
And they decided their ultimate wisdom is to knock it down to 35. What is going on with this town?
It's crazy.
I mean, it's
nuts.
You know, I was going 50 today. Yeah. Everybody else was, too.
Right.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it really, truly is a speedway, and it's not dangerous or anything. We're only going 45 to 50 miles per hour.
And they want to spend $500,000 to drop the speed limits down all over the city.
Yeah.
Right?
And I began to think about other instances where I got upset about speed limits. And I came up with one.
Yeah.
And that is when you're on a freeway and you're moving across the United States, you know, see the USA in your Chevrolet.
Right.
And you're going about 70 miles per hour, right? Some places 75.
Sure.
And all of a sudden you get in the city limits and it goes down to 55.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's changed. The roadway is still the same. No cross traffic. Nothing. It's the same road, same highway. Should be the same speed, but they mark it down to 55. And I'm thinking, what the hell is this all about? Why knock it down to 55? Because I'm in a city now.
That's because the Chamber of Commerce wants to, you know, get people to slow down a little bit, maybe pull off the road
the
and go buy something.
Well, you don't pull off the road. You get on an exit ramp.
Right.
But here's the thing. I'm thinking maybe the only reason they would want to slow down is because of drive time traffic, right? You don't want people going 70 miles per hour. And I'm thinking,
right. But
no one could go 75 miles per hour in drive time traffic. It's stop and go.
Exactly.
No matter what speed it is, it's going to be stop and go drive time traffic. So you don't have to move the speed limit down to 55 because people, you don't want them going that fast during drive time traffic. They can't. So again, I knocked that one down.
Yeah, people should just drive with the speed of traffic around them.
Yeah.
Right? You know, most of the time.
And let
that's
everybody
the way to
pick
go.
The speed that
you
they
just
want.
Pick the speed. It's up to you.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, it's another chilly start here this morning.
It is.
Yeah.
I looked at the forecast. It looks like it's going to be like this for a long time. Right?
Do you have any frost on the
windshield? No, I did not have any.
It's because it's really, really dry.
It is.
13 degrees currently.
Wow.
Would you like to know the afternoon high?
I would like to know that, but do we have the one arm bandit all oiled up and
we do.
And ready to go?
Yeah.
Oh, I oiled it just for you.
First number 0, second number 2, third number 9.
That's so fast.
29 for a high.
Blinding
step
speed.
Right,
that's
up.
What happens when you oil it up.
Yeah, it sounds so good.
Yeah. Okay.
And
29 for a high.
And Sam fixed my chair.
He did.
I didn't.
Yeah,
didn't
the chairs know? In the studio had a wobble to them. I was afraid that you were just going to fall off at some point.
Somewhere, yeah. The screws were all going to loosen up so much that it would just fall off the pedestal. But.
Yeah. But you tightened everything
this
up.
This is really nice. It is. Yeah. Now as I jitter my legs all.
How's the table
for
doing?
The next 2 hours, I'm not shaking the chair as well.
Is this the table wobbly?
This is solid.
Feels pretty solid. Yeah.
This is what I was going to do. I was thinking, let's move the table.
Oh, no.
Okay? And
why?
We'll move this point, this corner, that way.
Yeah. Okay.
And so Gordy and I are equally looking at you, Sam.
That'd be great.
Wouldn't that be just the perfect way to do this?
Why is it like this at all?
It shouldn't be like this at all because I can't look at Sam. If we just had the angle, you and I both could have a visual contact.
We can make this happen. You have free will, John.
We need the time cues.
Right.
And you guys have been nailing me with time cues.
How about if we put a mirror right here?
Why don't we just move the table?
Okay.
Never mind.
Yeah. We can try it.
I know we're not going to move the table.
Let's not do it right now. Let's wait until the show's over.
Well, people don't care.
Although that screen would be kind of in the way. I guess we could move the screen over a little bit.
I think we could probably move the pedestal of the screen.
Nobody knows how our studio is set up. People don't understand anything that you're saying right now.
A little bit.
I know. They don't care. Yeah, they can see us right there. See?
Yeah.
Boom.
So, John, we have a text here about your speed limits.
Oh, yes.
On the interstate. It seems that speeds are controlled by the federal government, and it relates to population density. So
that might be the reason why you're coming into... And again, population density doesn't mean anything.
You're right. You're right. It doesn't have any bearing on what the speed limit ought to be.
But... Right, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I appreciate that,
Take
Lynn.
It up
Thank
with
you.
The federal government.
Okay.
Well, let's get to the National Day calendar. See what's happening there, okay?
Yeah. I'm ready. I'm ready for bear.
I know. You hate this part of the show. Is it National Balloon Ascension Day?
Well, that's a good one to start with.
How about National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day? Okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're talking about speed limits. It's time to appreciate our law enforcement.
National Clean Water Day. National Apricot Day or National Static Electricity Day? Which day is it or is it not?
It's not Apricot Day.
You're wrong. It is National Apricot Day.
Oh, my God. Who gives a damn about apricot?
Well, the Apricot Appreciation Association.
The industry. Yeah, I know.
Sam, do you care to
guess? That was going to be my guess. I don't even know what to think now.
Oh, okay.
I guess I get the buzzer, too.
Okay. Well, it is. Let's start with National Apricot Day. Let's appreciate the apricots.
No.
Okay. Related to the peach, you know, they're related.
Wow.
The apricot's velvety flesh is quite similar.
Well, you're starting off strong already.
However, the texture of the golden orange fruit is firmer and the flavor more tart than its cousin. Since we easily preserve the apricot, we enjoy this versatile fruit all year long. Fresh, canned, or dried. Ah, the apricot.
I love
Let's
the apricot.
Salute the apricot, everybody. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not National Clean Water Day. It should be, but it isn't. Okay? In case you're wondering which
you
one
really
of those
threw
was
a curveball false. At us.
It's National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. We always appreciate the police.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even when they're writing us traffic tickets across the country.
No, then we don't.
Citizens take the lead to show support. National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. Law enforcement officers of every rank and file have chosen a profession that, puts their lives on the line every day for their communities.
That's
They've answered the call and of public service that is demanding and often unappreciate them. But not today. We appreciate you today, okay?
Gee, the unrealistic speed limit signs now have made everybody criminals. That's what they've done. They've made everyone in the city a criminal.
This is the ringer here today.
It's a shame.
This is the one that I really want to find out about.
Okay.
National Static Electricity Day. Look at this.
Because it's so dry, right?
Look at this picture. Can you see that picture of this kid?
Oh my God. Child
abuse.
He's touching
one of those one of those glass balls or whatever.
Oh, where it makes your hair stick out of the graph generator. Oh, okay.
Looks like he's really getting shocked. Maybe a little shocking, but National Static Electricity Day as an observance to explore static electricity.
No. No.
Do we really need to explore it?
We don't.
Okay. It's different from electric current carried by wires through a building, blah, blah, blah. Static electricity is produced when the positive and negative charges of an atom are out of balance. Okay?
Wow.
All right. That's enough of that.
I don't know. I'd probably be more afraid about static electricity if I knew there was an imbalance between atoms.
Well,
wow.
Yeah, that's what causes static electricity. Yeah. The drier the winter months are, the it's a better insulator than most for the humid air of summer, it says. I don't understand that. To help prevent static electricity, use a humidifier. Mm-hmm. So if you're getting shocked as you walk across your carpeted floor, you know, put some moisture into the air, okay, with a humidifier.
Oh, we were talking about that yesterday, whole house humidifier.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
That's it for the National Day calendar.
Well, it seems a little quick. Okay.
Let's go to the history books.
Every morning.
Oh, let's go to the history Kindle.
The history Kindle?
Yeah. It doesn't have the same.
Dial it up. It takes at least ever to load up.
What's that little explosion at the end? Okay. What's happening in history world?
I couldn't find a ton of stuff today, but...
You want to skip
I thought
it?
This was hilarious. Christopher Columbus, he wasn't just a bad person, he was also an idiot. Today in 1493, he noted in his journal, when he was sailing, I believe, back to Europe, he saw what he believed to be mermaids in the water.
Oh.
And his sailors had to correct him, they were just manatees.
Very similar, though. Yeah.
Apparently, he had trouble with his eyesight.
I guess so.
Mermaids weren't very well-groomed or good-looking at that time.
He did make a note of that. He said they're not as beautiful as they look in paintings.
No. Oh, Chris.
Well, they look like manatees.
Yeah. Just got a minute here. We got some Apple history. Today in 2001, iTunes was released. Changed the music industry big time.
Yeah.
And then in 2007, the iPhone came out. That really changed things.
Oh, boy, did
that. 2007?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
And iPhones, of course, you know, took credit for a lot of technology that other people were using already.
Yeah.
Great.
You're going to come back with birthdays.
You hate Apple, don't you?
I hate Apple.
Birthdays right around the corner on John and Gordy in the Morning, 18 past the hour.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Virgil Kane is my name, and I drove on the Danville train. Cavalry came and tore up the tracks again. In the winter of 65, we were hungry, just barely alive. I took the train to Richmond.
92.7 WMDX. Sorry to make that go on so long.
Well, here comes to the chorus. Here.
All right, let's listen.
Okay. Band song, but that's Joan Baez singing. Why are we playing Joan Baez?
Instead of the band? Yeah, why are we doing
it? It's her birthday.
Oh, great. Fantastic. Oh,
how old
that's
is
super.
She?
Well, born in 1941, so how old does that make her?
Older?
84?
I gotta do math.
Yeah, 84, I think.
84? Okay.
All right.
Am I wrong?
I think you're right. I think you're right. Yeah, she's 84.
And
we were talking about her yesterday.
We were talking about her yesterday with Mike McCabe. And he mentioned that she and Bob Dylan were a pair, but they hated each other.
Yeah, but they were, yeah, they were a pair for a few years.
Yeah.
Back in the 60s, early 60s. Yeah. Okay. I think they haven't talked to each other in years.
Yeah.
I think they may have mended fences, but they still don't talk.
I don't see, I never really liked Joan Baez.
Yeah.
The singing style.
Yeah. It's a real folky style, you know.
And who was the other female singer at the time, folk singer?
Joni Mitchell?
No. She's okay. Fantastic.
Judy Collins?
Judy Collins.
Okay.
Never liked her.
She was just in Madison not too long. I think she's got relatives here.
A little too warbly for me.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Although, you
who
know,
else don't
she did,
you like?
She did a good job with, I believe, Suzanne, and she sang Suzanne with Leonard Cohen, and it was a great duo.
Mm-hmm. What about Send in the Clowns?
Oh, my God, please, no.
Find that one, Sam.
My head is about to explode. Don't remind me of Send in the Clowns. God. Oh, jeez.
You're quite the music critic, aren't you?
Catherine was yelling at you about being a movie critic, too. You don't evaluate the qualities of a movie. You just like, I don't like this. This is a bad movie.
No, I look at the actual elements of the movie.
The focus.
I balance it.
The sound.
No, you focus on the focus and sound of a movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think anybody disagrees with my opinion.
Some people like that style. I mean,
do they?
I don't know. But she was successful in the folk era.
I made an exception with Buffy St. Marie, who had a very, very warbly voice. But for some reason, she was just so unique.
Mm.
And Melanie had a fantastic, unique voice ever.
Melanie was great.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
Okay.
So I did like some of the female singers back then. It's just that... those two just never. Joni Mitchell was the best.
Joni's,
she was
wonderful.
Up there with Melanie.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
great writer too. Any birthday? Any other birthdays you want to mention there, Sam?
It's Richard Nixon's birthday. Tricky Dick.
Oh, yeah.
Born today in 1913.
I'm not a crook.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a crook.
Oh.
And it's also Bart Starr's birthday.
Oh.
Born today in 1934.
Wow. Yeah. Those were some bad years in Green Bay. Not when he was a quarterback, but when he was a coach. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I had never heard of Bart Starr until 4 years ago.
Oh.
Nope.
Which is kind of crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. He had, what was the charity group that he headed up?
The Cherry Group?
Charity.
Charity group. He's into cherries?
Yeah. Well, he was in Wisconsin for a long time, and cherries were very popular up there in the peninsula.
I don't know what his charity...
No, it wasn't cherries, though.
He had a charitable group.
They took old vehicles.
Bart Starr's charitable group?
Yeah. What the heck was that?
Rawhide Youth Services,
yeah.
And they always, coincidentally, his wife's name is Cherry.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Wow, Cherry Star.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, they took in old vehicles. I remember that. I think I donated one of my cars to them.
I think my family did as well. My brother hit the car that he drove when he was in high school. Mm-hmm. My parents forcibly took it away from him because it was literally falling apart.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of players. They had Forrest Gregg up there.
Mm.
Lindy Infante wasn't a player, but it was not a bad couple of years with him.
Mm.
But Forrest Gregg and Bart Starr did not make it as coaches,
no.
Sadly. Yeah. Kind of sullied their careers just
too
a
bad.
Little bit.
It's too bad. Okay.
Were you a big fan of the Green Bay Packers?
Not back then, no.
Okay.
Back then, I lived
jumped
around.
On the bandwagon when
well, I
Brett
lived
Favre.
In Chicago at the time, but
well,
I've
that's
lived,
true.
I've lived in Wisconsin, you know, more than 25,
but you had
30
a great
years
team.
Now.
You had a great team. Butkus.
Yes. Ditka. Yeah. Yeah, and of course the 85 Bears with Jim McMahon. Oh, yeah. Walter Payton.
Sure, yeah.
You know, those
yeah,
were the
you
glory
love
days.
That rap song.
That one year.
You
oh,
really
boy.
Love that rap song.
They were great in 85. Yeah.
And I remember
song.
When you were breakdancing to that. There was something else, man. But
oh,
I told
those
you,
were the days.
I told you breakdancing wasn't popular anymore.
Yeah, now I've got arthritis in my knees and because of all that breakdancing I did.
What did you do while the breakdancing clothes?
Oh, God. Parachute pants.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Okay.
Oh, breakdancing. Wow. Okay. What a disaster.
I know. they're, you know, very popular with some people, breakdancing. They can really do it. This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Find them on Madison's east side or west side or online at verlo.com and ask them about their lifetime guarantee.
They were quite the performers. You know, today, yeah. When you see somebody who breaks into a breakdance,
right.
it's actually entertaining now.
Well, sure.
Back
they made
then,
it into an
it
Olympic
wasn't.
Sport last time around.
Oh, really?
Right? Yeah.
Wow.
We got a lot of stuff coming up here. Nick Ramos is going to join us from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign a little bit later on.
Busted Pencils next.
They are coming up next.
And we've got a big story. Meta has turned into a hate group.
All
so
that.
We'll get to that.
Straight ahead.
We are the best. Shut it on down. Do it for you. We're so bad. We know we're good.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Decaffeinated Caffeine, for people who like feeling nervous and wide awake, but hate running to the bathroom all the time.
Coffee.
92.7 WMDX. You know, we haven't really had the coffee guy pass through the studio recently.
I know. Where has he been?
And where are all the coffee
hey,
songs that we had?
Oh, coffee?
Here he comes right now.
You should have knocked on wood.
Here he is.
Does anybody want
over
coffee?
Here.
Over here.
Who wants coffee?
Come on.
Does anybody want coffee?
He
wants
didn't hear us.
He can't see.
He didn't hear us.
Okay. There he goes.
There he goes.
Well, hope your coffee's hot wherever you are.
Yeah. All right. Boy. Well, our special guest this morning again, Busted Pencils, Tim Slecker is here, and we've got a whole bunch of topics to cover this morning, that's for sure.
Yeah, where do we begin?
I know. What the heck, right? Let's get to the big story, and that is Trump wanting to get rid of the Education Department. We've talked about that ad nauseum, but he wants to rebrand it instead. What do you got
well, it's
on
not,
that, Tim?
It's not him. It's not him. This is an opportunist. We found this story in one of the places we get a lot of education news called K-12 Dive. Mm-hmm. And Haley Matz Medvin was part of the Biden Department of Education. And she said, hey, Trump, you know what? Because you're such an entrepreneur, why don't you rebrand the Department of Education? Because actually, and then she goes into, oh, this continued, you know, math and science, kids in America stink, China is beating our butts. And so, Donald, here's the idea. Let's take the Department of Education and let's call it the Department of American Competitiveness.
My God.
Okay. Yes.
Well, you know, anytime you add American in it, I'm just, you know, starting to.
Well, you know, I mean, you got the Gulf of America coming along. You got our
Yeah.
Our 51st state of Canada starting to come forward. Maybe 52nd state, too, when you add Greenland.
Right. Yes.
You know, so a Department of American Competitiveness, why not?
You know? Exactly. Yeah, it all makes sense now, doesn't it?
Well, it goes back to, and you pointed this out, you know, we did a tribute to Jimmy Carter. Mm-hmm. And in that podcast, you know, really talk about that the Department of Education came through the Carter administration, was put together and ratified in 1979. And the biggest reason for the Department of Education was, you know, first of all, civil rights and making sure that civil rights laws were applied in schools, particularly against segregation. And then the other main component was to say, hey, if you're a school and you do not have the funds that you need, so in other words, schools working mostly with poor children, the federal government would come in and equalize and provide funding so that all kids would have the opportunity to get access to the types of tools and education and teachers they need. And so then, you know, right away in 1980, with the election of Ronald Reagan, the Department of Education has been in the crosshairs ever since by conservative Republican presidents, largely from the standpoint of saying, you know, education is a state's right.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Yes, we know that. But the Department of Education is really we talk about it. It doesn't have the implications at the state level for curriculum and things like that. It really is. It's a civil rights organization. It's a funding organization. It's a, it's really important. But so this idea of rebranding it, though, to the Department of American Competitiveness actually is silly. And I'll say, as stupid as this is actually in line with what we see a lot of things happening in a lot of states right now anyway. So in my state of Ohio, mm-hmm. what used to be the State Department of Education is now the State Department of Workforce and Education.
That's awful.
Yeah. You know, because it's this whole idea of saying, you know, if we want schools to stop teaching that woke terrorism crap,
mm-hmm.
we'll have them focus on preparing workers.
Right. Yes. That's much better.
Much better, because that way they'll go out and get jobs doing things that AI is going to replace them with anyway.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right. It's an amazing thing they did that in Wisconsin. They took away parental rights for 16 and 17-year-olds to get permission to go out and work.
Yes.
Parents didn't have to okay that anymore. You could mm-hmm. just take off.
Yeah. There we go.
Hey, that's true freedom.
It is.
Tim, we've got a phone call here from Matt in Middleton. He has a comment or a question. What do you got for us, Matt?
Morning, guys. I have a general question about education in America and how we're failing people, considering, you know, the difference between private, religious, public. Because I've seen some podcasts with some of these younger people who are Christian and they're MAGA, and to say that they're stupid is putting it lightly. But where are we failing? I know we're not teaching civics enough. That's where civic media helps. But how do you solve this, like, ignorance problem? Because, you know, other countries are now laughing at Trump because he's such an idiot and he's making America look stupid. What can we do education-wise to spread critical thinking and help this ignorance problem?
Well, Tim, didn't Ira David Sokol talk about that? That the school systems are kind of, at fault for not making the improvements they need in public schools.
Yeah, and you know, Matt's question too is much. There's a, you know, a tinge of kind of like the ignorance of MAGA to really look at and kind of say, you know, what is the purpose mm-hmm. of American public education? And yeah, our podcast last Saturday, the show that ran on Civic Media Saturdays, We interviewed an author who just now released a book called Designed to Fail, History of American Education. And he really points out that as far back as the beginning of the organization of the American public school system, that it was designed to create workers. And if you, and the other part of it was, is that it was also designed to get rid of 80% of the students that were in there, because guess what? The idea of creating an informed electorate, or as Matt was saying, you know, critical thinkers, that was never the purpose of American public schools. It was with through some reformers and progressive ideas that we've had this concept, but American public schools have always been largely focused on workforce development. Mm-hmm. And with that, then too, is a real genuine sorting mechanism where the majority of students are kept out of the kind of critical thinking content and topics, which now when you start to look at that and say, so what are the implications of an education system that is largely driven towards creating workers, is that you've got a large part of the population then that ends up being miseducated. Mm-hmm. I'll say that, you know, as opposed to uneducated. So how do we move this forward? I think that the entire attack on public education, though, too, has always been related to trying to, first of all, create this image as if the American public school system is creating a bunch of woke, critically minded, anti-American terrorists. when the reality is that the American system of education has been really good at pretty much keeping the status quo the way things are. And whether there's an edge of kind of, you know, an anti-critical thinking, I think Matt's right. But to be honest, there's never been a real drive in American education to create active citizens and democracy kind of looking people. It's always been a status quo system. What to get to a critical electorate, though, we need to then reimagine public education, not get rid of it through vouchers and small private schools. What Ira says is that we've got a public school system that needs to be changed with its purpose at looking at and saying, we need all kids to feel welcome in schools, to be engaged, to be put for, you know, to have the opportunity to develop their skills. And some of those kids are going to be really great at math, and some of those kids are going to be really great at writing, and some kids are going to be really great at music. And for all of those kids, they need the opportunity to thrive in schools, not be denied that education. If we do that, Matt, in other words, really double down and say public education is the cornerstone, the foundation of American democracy, we then protect, save American public education, and then go in and make the changes that are necessary from the standpoint of saying, how do we create thriving students? And you're not going to do that through a private school voucher system that largely, as we see, 80% of those students are already in private schools. And so we're essentially robbing the public schools to keep wealthy kids in elite private schools.
Well, I thank Matt for that phone call, talking to Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils. And I want to get back to this rebranding that this Haley Medvin suggests the Trump administration does. Well, I mean, part of her article here, it seems to be, instead of just getting rid of the department, again, just rebrand it as something right. And she mentions George W. Bush had No Child Left Behind, and Barack Obama said, you know, they developed Common Core. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe rebranding it to something else rather than just dismantling it completely. She's offering that suggestion. Is there any other option?
Well, you know, and that's the idea of kind of rebranding, you can hear in some of the things that I'm saying and some of the things that Ira Sokol was saying in our show last week. There is a real potential to say, guess what? Let's really see how we can use a Department of Education to make some really amazing, necessary changes to the American public school system. Is that a rebranding or is that a reimagining of the purpose of the Department of Education? See, so that for me, when I see what the Department of American Competitiveness, I don't see that as a rebranding. I actually see that as doing away with the truly, really doing away with the civic mission of equity, equality, and protecting students, and turning schools into truly factories that are committed to creating workers. And I'll be honest, the workers that they're trying to create, I'm not sure that we have that many job openings. In fact, you know, she leans into we need to more STEM graduates. And there's been research now that shows that for all of the STEM graduates out there, there just aren't the jobs to go with all of these. And so you have STEM graduates, you know, working at Walmart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
You know, the thing is, they branded everything now woke. And so it's always, you know, just it covers everything that they don't like. And I always thought that the schools that focused a lot on recognizing misinformation, actually classes on that would be real beneficial.
Oh, and you just brought it up, John. In fact, I don't, maybe you're hinting at this, but there's a pretty significant research and expose on Finland, where they are absolutely 100% committed to teaching kids to find misinformation. Yeah. Imagine that.
I know. School.
Wow.
In this day and age.
Schools committed to teaching kids to be critically thinking oriented, that when they read something, take a look and try to verify it before you actually put it up on YouTube as the next theory of everything.
Right. It covers everything. I mean, you know, it really is beneficial for everyone.
We will continue with Busted Pencils, Dr. Tim Slecker, in just a moment on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX. John and Gordy in the Morning.
And this portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show brought to you by Verlo Mattress, where you can sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. You can find them on Madison's east side or west side, or just go online at verlo.com and ask about their lifetime guarantee.
Busted Pencils, Tim Slecker is here, and we've been looking all around for the Ryan Walters cut, and now we do have it. This is a road wisdom, basically.
Yes.
people speaking wisdom from the front seat of their car.
Yeah, I just said, holy crap, I got something awesome I need to pull over and share it with the world.
Exactly, and this is what he shared with the world.
You know, you have schools that are teaching kids to hate their country, that this country is evil. You have the teachers' unions pushing this on our kid. The radical left wants people to hate this country. They've completely destroyed the integrity of the FBI by making them more concerned about DEI than about protecting Americans. It's a major part of this. And look, this is a real uncomfortable truth. You know, I know the left is going to lose their mind, but listen, we cannot allow our schools to become terrorist training camps.
Oh, God.
We cannot allow our schools to teach our kids to hate this country. We cannot allow our kids to teach that this is an evil country. That's why we are getting back to the basics here in Oklahoma, to make sure that our kids love this country, understand American values, understand the role that the Constitution, the Bible, the Declaration of Independence played in American history, because we want patriots. And that's got to be the focus of our schools.
Now, you kind of see through it right away when you think that the left wants to make their kids hate America. Yes. I, you know, just there's a tip off there, and it sounds ridiculous and stupid right away, but this is the superintendent of schools, right? I mean, this guy is in charge of all the schools, and this
in
is his
Oklahoma.
Point of view in Oklahoma. And it's just an amazing thing. And of course, you know, he missed the job at the Department of Education. So
he let me.
I was on your side. I thought he was a shoo-in for this.
I thought for sure. To me, this is a audition tape number two here.
Yes.
In case Linda McMahon doesn't get confirmed, he's still there.
We haven't heard anything about her either.
This. Yeah, kind of, I should say, road wisdom as he pulls off. But, you know, put it in perspective, he released this the day after New Orleans and the terrorist attack in New Orleans. Mm. And his implications here, and this is the kind that, you know, that's horrible. His implications are is that New Orleans, the terrorist, is the result of American public education. And that teachers somehow created the conditions that empowered this terrorist to take innocent lives. And I mean, this is the craziness here. And the when you think about the people that will then listen to who Ryan Walters, who share this, they hear this as truth. Mm-hmm. They understand this and hear this as a rallying cry to go out and do something. I'm concerned that this in and of itself is an inciting of another group of people to do potentially bad things to our public school teachers. Because if you've got the belief that you're, the fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Smith is training and grooming terrorists in there, you're really creating the unsafe conditions for teachers, because you're really turning your neighbors into they believe that they're protecting and saving kids and they're saving Americans. This is dangerous rhetoric. So yeah, that's why I also, you can check out the blog on Civic Media where I put out a blog discussing this, but not really recognizing that, yes, Ryan Walters is in Oklahoma, but there are Ryan Walters everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're in Wisconsin. They're in Ohio. They're in there. Any of these people that continue to proclaim that American public schools are teaching kids to hate America, breeding terrorism, they're everywhere. And we need to be on the lookout. And we need to call this out and point out that this is dangerous rhetoric. This is dangerous rhetoric. Yeah. Students learning to distinguish fact from fantasy in schools, that's not woke. That's the purpose of American education. That's not hating kids. That's not teaching kids to hate schools. So, yeah, I could roll on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Tim, we were talking about fact-checking before, and we got a text here from Catherine. It says Madison East High School does have our English class that is research-focused on how to do research and how to dig in.
Right. And you mentioned Finland, I mean, where they were actually teaching, recognizing misinformation.
Yeah.
And one person texted here and said, can we buy Finland?
That's for Doug.
I like that.
Appreciate that.
I'm with it.
I was just thinking, though, as I was rambling, I should have saved all that, ran out to my driveway and got in my car.
Yes. We can do that next
time. Yes, it has more of an impact, I think.
Yeah, next Thursday, I'm going to set up my mic in the front seat of my car.
Yes, that would be great.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that.
Yes.
We're just about out of time here, Tim, but we want to remind everybody you can listen to Busted Pencils. You drop podcasts Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and then you're live on the Civic Media Network on Saturdays.
At 3 o'clock.
Yeah, and if you want a real deep dive into the Department of Education rebranding, that's what's going to be on Saturday. We spend a whole hour trying to make a sense of this mess.
I hope so. Excellent. Anyway,
always a pleasure, Tim.
All right, Tim. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day.
Take care.
Coming up in our next hour, we'll talk to Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
And Meta has turned into a domestic hate group.
Oh, it's all coming up.
John Gordy in the morning.
As we were
John Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.